results from the monitor, no, and what type of data do we have, and how we can use the data that has been collected, as you saw in the previous presentation, with some amount of effort, and it was a challenging year to be able to put everything together with a tight deadline. And how can we use this data that was collected to see how the countries are doing and which progress are they making to implement the FCTC and to, most important, to improve tobacco control around the world. So this was a partnership, a big effort, and especially the Institute of Global Tobacco Control at Johns Hopkins and the Framework Convention Alliance worked together. But I would like also to acknowledge that most of the data that I am going to present here is included in the report, in the first report, and I want to acknowledge the data collectors of the 27 countries. And this is the list of the countries, and as Natasha indicated, they are from all over the world, from Africa, the Americas, Europe, the Eastern Mediterranean, Southeast Asia, and the Western Pacific. These are the six WHO regions. And as you can see also, we have countries from very different, from low-income countries using the World Bank classification. We have high-income countries. We have upper middle-income and lower middle-income. So there is, we have a good representation. These were not all the 41st countries who ratified the treaty, but we have it's a sample, it's a subsample that represents most of the countries and most of the regions of the world. So we expect to have a picture that can be useful to understand what's happening. Okay, so the goal is to use the FCTC monitor to evaluate the country progress on a selected number of articles. As you saw, the treaty it's long. It has, I don't remember, I think more than 40 articles in total. And but there are some, but this is an evidence-based treaty, and it's really, as it was mentioned before by Laurent, and the focus of the FCTC was to select critical areas for tobacco control based on the evidence that we have. And so these were the main four ones that have been already mentioned. And I tried to use each time the exact title of the article. So Article 6 was price and tax measures to reduce the demand for tobacco. And this is how it was worded in the treaty. So the goal for this presentation of the results is we collected a lot of information. So how do we want to present it? So the first thing is what is the minimal requirement of the FCTC? As it has also been mentioned, there is some minimal requirements. So it was difficult to get all the countries to agree. So what is the minimal thing that they should meet? And are the countries meeting this requirement or not? So for Article 6, which is the minimal requirement? So we could say, as it's been written in the FCTC, that the minimal requirement is to adopt or maintain tax and price policies in tobacco products that aim at reducing tobacco consumption. And that's the minimal requirement. Because most countries, and you can see here the 27 countries, data collectors from the 27 countries, indicated that they had tobacco taxes and price regulations. So for this first article that I am presenting, that we are presenting, everybody had some level of legislation. However, only 12 countries indicated that in their legislation, there it is indicated that this is done for the purpose of reducing tobacco consumption, at least in part, and not the main basic purpose would be, for example, just for revenues or for other measures. So if we look at what type of taxes are complicated in the sense that there are different type of taxes, and we try to ask the countries what type of taxes they were using. The most important taxes for tobacco control are excise taxes. And within the excise taxes, these are specific taxes for certain products such as alcohol or fuel or tobacco. And the best taxes will be the specific taxes that are based on quantity or weight independently of the price, such as a Marlboro pack or a cheap pack of cigarettes of the local brand would be taxed by the quantity of tobacco and not necessarily by the final price of the product. differ, and that will be the best tax. But some, it's okay also, some countries have percentage of the price or mix of different taxes. And we have a good information on that. So the final goal for the taxes is to have cigarettes that are high price. Of course, here you can see that the prices are really related to the economy, not to the level of the economy in that country. And you can see, so for each, in the collection, in the data monitor, we ask the countries to report their cheapest local brand, their most popular brand, and then Marlboro Pack. We also have many other brands, Camel and others. And, but you can see that even within the regions that are high income, you can see Japan, that was also mentioned before, their prices are very low as compared to, for example, Norway, that has substantial higher prices. That's related to the taxes, most likely, in part. Also, for example, something important to look at, difficult for me with the mouse pointer, but is what is the relative difference between the cheapest local brand versus the Marlboro pack? And that is important because when if we introduce taxes, people can switch smoking brands, no? So it's important that there is not such a big change. For example, if we go to Bangladesh, the difference is quite substantial. So this is allowing people, young people, and people from lower economy to have access to tobacco. So these differences are really important. You can see here, for example, in Iceland, it's the same for all of them. So the taxes and the prices are very important for as tobacco control measures. And we can see that there is a wide range. Okay, so that was for prices. Now, one of the most important or critical measures for tobacco control are smoke-free environment and the protection from exposure to tobacco smoke. So this is the wording of the FCTC, is to adopt and implement effective measures providing protection from exposure to tobacco smoke. So now, as in the new conference of the, in the first conference of the parties, or in the second, there are guidelines explaining that this means smoke-free environment and that all public places and workplaces should be smoke-free. And this is what it means, effective measures providing protection from exposure to tobacco smoke, because many countries say that that was not clear enough. So what happened in our report? These 8 countries, including countries from all kinds of World Bank income groups, reported that they had legislation providing national smoking bans. 15 countries reported partial bans. However, some countries such as Canada and Australia, that are high income countries, have complete bans at the province, state, territory level. So even though these are not national bans, they are able to provide substantial protection for most of their population. No? I think it's a similar situation than in the US. But still, that means that certain regions are not protected. No? Then we have countries like Ghana and Trinidad and Tobago that have no national legislation at all. Doing classifying countries as smoke-free and non-smoke-free, or looking at the legislation and looking at what is the level of enforcement of the legislation, is relatively complicated. And I want to show here 2 maps. This one was published early 2007 in the New England Journal of Medicine, and the second map was published in Environmental Health Perspectives just like 3-4 months ago. So now I want to go back. Good. So you can see from looking at the 2 maps that the pictures look quite different, and you wonder how can it be that 2 maps just separated by a couple of months look so different. And it's just because how you classify the legislations, are you more strict or less strict, is going to make a difference, no? Okay. So here, for example, we can see Norway, that was classified as full protection in the previous map. It's in green because they have designated smoking rooms that are allowed. And this is one of the ineffective measures that is are sometimes included in the legislation. So that our data report collector agreed with that and not with the other legislation. Okay, so what really matters is enforcement and compliance. So even though we have Slovakia and Jordan that said that they had complete bans, they have legislation banning smoking, their level of enforcement is low to none, and their level of compliance is low to none. So these legislations are not effectively protecting their population. So we cannot consider those as being reaching the minimal criteria of the FCDC, despite the fact that they have legislation. So at the end, what really matters is if the places are smoke-free or not. And we can see that even in hospitals and schools, Hungary, India, and there is another third country, I forgot now, they still have most of their hospitals and schools with smoking going on inside. And as we go to other critical workplaces that are bars and restaurants and nightclubs, this is a more dark picture that we are still having today. So at the end, bringing together the legislations with the covering of the full population plus the level of enforcement, we concluded that two countries were providing complete protection, New Zealand and Uruguay, and that four countries had incomplete protection but with a good level for most of the population. And the majority of the countries were really having a complete lack of any type of effective protection for the population. So there is still a lot of work to do in terms of smoke-free environments worldwide. Okay, so now we are moving to two very difficult articles that are the packaging and labeling and the advertisement that is even harder after that. But the two of them use similar wording in the sense that they say that packaging and labeling and also advertisement should not promote false impressions about a tobacco product or about a tobacco product that is less harmful. So that means that if there is any packaging or if there is any advertisement, they should not promote false impressions about what this product is. For the packaging and labeling, it specifically says that it should the low tar light should be out loud. And that is said in the FCTC. That is important. The minimal requirements are for the health warnings are that it should be approved by the national competent authority, they should be rotating, large and visible, and the minimum is really that not less than, at least more than 30% of the national display, the principal display area should be a label, a clear label, that may include pictures in some cases. So 24 countries reported national legislation, and 17 said that their packaging was not misleading or deceptive. But only 9 of them have specifically outlawed the terms low tar, light, etc. And there are 3 countries, including Ghana, that has a draft with no legislation on this area. So I just showed some pictures here. And you can see these are from Norway, Iceland, and Bangladesh. This meets the 30% requirement of the display area. I am not so sure about Bangladesh, actually, if you count. And also about, is this clear enough? Is this large enough? But they don't meet the 50%. These are from Japan. Also, you can see here, these are super light. So this is not meeting the requirement of banning, of not using light terminology. Marlboro gives you also their website in Japan, in the package. This is actually a website from the Ministry of Health of Japan. I also was able to check that. And then these are in Mauritius. The local brands do not seem to have health warnings. This is not a health warning. And this is Marlboro seems to have quite a small one. I mean, kind of similar to what we have in the US. I don't think we are better. And it's in English. Mauritius was the only country that do not fulfill the requirement of having the health warnings in their local language. So these are from India. That looks, I am not sure about the misleading and deceptive, the four square. But they say cigarette smoking is injurious to health. These are from Mexico. They have their warnings only in one side. And these are the countries that have the pictures. So this is Panama. Actually, it's a very large size of the package is covered in Panama. This is also Thailand, 50%, very descriptive, what's happening. And this is Canada. So this is in Canada, we can see that it's 50% is covered, but this is again a light pack of cigarettes. And this is a small pack. Okay, I am skipping a little bit fast in benefit of time. Okay. So this is in, what is, if we go to the minimal requirement, that it's at least 30% are covered, of the display areas are covered, we still have a number of countries, 6 and 10 countries that are not fulfilling this requirement among our 27 countries. So we are kind of behind. There is a lot of work to do in this area. Okay, so now let's move to the last key article that I wanted to talk, that is about tobacco advertising promotion and sponsorship. I think it's one of the most challenging areas in the treaty. So the minimal requirements are to prohibit all forms of tobacco advertising that are false, misleading, or create erroneous impressions. And if they are, and that these advertisements should require health warnings if they are. Then they should be prohibited and restricted on different media. And the difficulty here is constitutional rights and differences in constitutional across countries, because some countries indicate that they cannot ban advertisement, tobacco advertisement. So 22 countries have national legislation. 8 countries had complete bans. And actually, it's very interesting to look and read how they explain and which challenges they went through to achieve these bans. But 5 countries have no legislation at all, including Japan, where they say that they cannot do it related to their constitution. And they just have an article on their tobacco business laws restricting excessive advertisement to young people and to minors. So for countries that have partial bans, usually they are banning TV, radios, etc., and points of sales are the places that are less likely to be banned. However, some countries, as we mentioned, have complete bans, including point of sale. And Mauritius has actually a complete ban legislation. And they sent us these pictures saying that these are actually illegal displays in points of sale. This is also from Panama. So different forms of advertisement are happening in the countries right now. And this is it's an area that is far behind and difficult to implement. So here I made this little table with a summary as the time of the report when we went, saying which countries have at least some level of legislation for the FCTC, for the key articles of the FCTC, and we can see all have taxes and price, 20 have for tobacco smoke, 24 have packaging and labeling legislation, and 22 have advertisement and protection. However, when we go to does it meet the requirements of the FCTC, the levels are much lower. And if we go, for example, for tobacco smoke, we could say, strictly speaking, only 2 of the countries are fulfilling the requirement of the FCTC. And for the packaging and labeling, 17, if we use the 30% of the display area, but actually only 9 have outlawed the light and low tar criteria. So there is a lot of work that has to be done. The good news is that things have happened since the approval, the implementation of the FCTC, of the FCTC ratification. And we were able to track, using the data that was collected, about how if countries have been able to implement new legislation to improve, change their legislation since the FCTC was implemented. And we can see that most countries have, the number of countries having legislation has increased. And this has been particularly important in low and lower middle economies that were the countries that at the beginning, before the FCTC, were the countries lacking the most number of legislation. And we were able to create these figures thanks to the work of Betsy Donaldson, who is here. And she was able to see when was the legislation approved and was this approved before or after the FCTC ratification. So we think that this is a very interesting tool to be able to show that things have happened, even though we still have some work to do, a lot. So in terms of the strength and the limitation of the monitor, I think it's important to I think some good strengths are that the good breadth of quantitative and qualitative information, as Natasha mentioned before, and the incorporation of the civil society perspective, and also the fact that we are trying to use feedback and getting references and documents to support these responses. However, some limitations are, the limitations are also important, and we need to be aware of them so that we can improve future editions of the report. And one of them is the limited number of informants per country, so that maybe having internal peer review systems within each country could be a way to improve that, so that we have have high quality data, the best that we can on the data. And important limitation is the differences in interpretation of the FCTC monitor, and that in many cases is related to the FCTC itself and difficult